The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 749. It's the 3rd of April, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Colin Hutchinson, CEO of Ascent Resources. That's AST ticker. And Colin covers their IPPC permit update and tackles some private investor questions that he got asked over the weekend at the UK Investor Show. Also on the podcast, I have Jao Andredi, CEO of Wide Sales Group, that's WGC, goes over some of the highlights from their preliminary results and discusses how 2017 will be a year of revenue growth. Also on the podcast, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Ascent Resources, that's AST, it's Colin Hutchinson. Colin, thanks for joining me again.
Morning, Justin, it's great to be back.
And I've got to say, I saw some pictures of you on social media. It almost starts to sound dodgy there, doesn't it? But at the UK Investor Show, and
you were
looking, very dapper, I thought, Colin.
I had a great day on Saturday at the UK Investor Show. It's the first time I've done anything like that, and it was amazing to meet so many shareholders. I was talking to people, I think, from the doors opened at 9:30 or so, right through until I did the presentation at the end of the day. So it was brilliant. My voice was sore. Got to meet loads of people. Got to meet someone who knew my uncle, which was rather amazing, and went for a pint with a few shareholders afterwards. So it was really good. Good to meet lots of other sort of companies that we know. The Vox Markets guys were there, Primary Bid were there, and there were a lot of other AIM companies and similar doing similar things to us that I was able to chat to. So it was a really good day.
Yeah, I liked it. It was excellent. It sounded exhausting, but I bet you had similar questions put to you 1,000 times a day, did you?
It was a similar theme. People very interested about the announcement we had on Friday about the IPPC permit. People talking about when we're going to get through to first gas, what the plan looks like after that. So yeah, it was similar questions, but it was good to talk to people to explain things and hopefully answer anything they were unsure about.
Yeah. Well, we'll cover those. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to give a summary, as I said, because you are now the most followed company on Vox, so I assume lots of people know. But let's cover off those bits then, those questions that lots of private investors ask you about. So the first and foremost, the RNS on Friday, the IPPC update. What's happening there, Colin?
I think that was a good news is that we've sort of cleared another hurdle to getting through to finally get this IPPC permit, which we need to build a treatment plant, which is required to put gas into the national grid. The IPPC permit isn't needed for gas to ENA. It's not even needed to sell any gas to local sort of commercial companies. It's purely needed to treat the gas to put it into the Slovenian grid. So that's our long-term solution. So getting that permit's important to the company, sort of my 10 or 20-year field development plan. Mm-hmm. What we announced on Friday was that the Environment Minister had dismissed this appeal that had been lodged by, there's one party really that has objected to this the whole way along, and they're just causing trouble. Mm-hmm. And I've lost count now of the number of times it's been rejected by the Slovenian government. This must be the fourth or fifth time. They rejected it again as being without merit. This chap could potentially appeal again to the court, and he has sort of fairly consistently objected as much as he can, but I think he's running out of road now. This appeal to the court would be the last chance for him. We've done everything. That the last time we were up in front of the court, the judge ruled against us. He didn't really rule in his favour. It was none of his arguments were endorsed, but the judge picked up on a inconsistency between EU law and Slovenian law, and that's where he threw out our application at that point. We've gone back and done everything that the judge wanted us to do. So whenever we end up back in front of him again, it would be surprising if he ruled any other way apart from in our favour.
Yeah, can't they just say to this guy, listen, mate, that's it now. You've had enough chances. Move on. Find something else to pick up.
I mean, I've tried to say that to him.
Yeah.
The newspapers in Slovenia have said that. I mean, whenever we started selling, we announced that we were going to sell gas into Croatia, I was a bit concerned that we'd have some pushback on that locally. But the story in the press was really about, isn't it a great shame that this chap has sort of forced the company to go this way, and that he's really obstructing what could be a very beneficial development for the region where the gas field is, and just for the Slovenian economy generally, because they're importing 99.9% of the gas at the minute, and it'd be a great benefit to the company to have its own gas supply.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, I know in this country, if you complain to Ofcom, doesn't matter what the complaint is, they have to investigate it, you know, and they have to sort of take steps to address it. And it doesn't matter if it has any standing or merit whatsoever. So it just ties you up in red tape completely. But surely sooner or later they've got to say, listen, we've pushed you back on this several times. Stop. You just created, no one's in your favour. You're on your own and you're a bit mad. let's just move on, yeah?
I might send you over to talk to him. He said that the government have to go through the process. The process is there to make sure that things are looked at in the proper level of detail, and we have to go through the process, sadly, but I'm hoping we're finally approaching the last hurdle.
Yeah, okay, all right, so you said one of the other questions you had was about first gas. How's that coming on?
First gas, I mean, we said early April, still saying early April. I'm going to go to Slovenia tomorrow just to check that everything's moving along as it's expected to. So I'm hoping within a week or two that we're able to tell people that after 10 years, nearly 10 years in country, we're producing gas, and that's something I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you also said everyone kept asking, what's next? So,
what's next? And we did a presentation about what the sort of field development plan looks like, sort of rolling out, and I'll try and put some of those slides up on the website and up on our Vox Markets page as well, so people who weren't able to make the show can see what those look like. But in summary, we've got PG11 coming up soon. We're hopefully going to get the rig moved before the end of this month, and that's about a 4-week job, they tell me. It's always hard to say with certainty when you're dealing with well workover type projects. Then we start selling gas to INA, then we're cash flow positive, and then we get the permit hopefully at some point, and then the field development plan rollout kicks off, and we start to look at new wells, we start to really start to develop the field properly, and that's what we're all working towards.
Marvellous. Well, only one final thing to do, Col, to add to your ever mounting followers. Do you know what, every day when I do this list, top five most followed companies, you are pretty much in this list every day, pretty much, and so it's going really well, and people are already catching on to the story there. So if you need to give anyone else who's not following you out there can't be very many now, but chances to follow you, give us three reasons, please, Cole.
Just three reasons, I guess, focused on short term news. What we're doing is first gas is just around the corner. Then we'll have news on PG11 coming in a few weeks after that, and then a few more weeks after that we'll have some gas flowing to INA and the company will be cash flow positive. So there's a lot of news flow hopefully in the next weeks and months, and I guess if you're following us on Vox, then you get all that ping to the front of your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous. Thanks, Col, and speak soon, fella.
Perfect. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is João Andrade, CEO of Wide Sales Group. That's WDC. João, thanks for joining me again.
Hi, Justin. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me today.
Yes, you just released your preliminary results. We'll go through bits of that in a bit. But for people listening to the podcast now that's never heard of your company, explain it to them, João. What do you do?
Well, Wide Sales Group, we are a healthcare services company, and we are focused on providing stem cell services and also groundbreaking insurance for stem cell treatments. Why is this relevant? Mainly because stem cell technology has been around for more than 40 years now. The audience might have heard about bone marrow transplants. Doctors in the 80s have found another source of stem cells that have been shown to have better results in most cases than using bone marrow stem cells. And for that reason, there are several families that have been storing their baby's umbilical cord blood to protect the family against future illness, because a baby's umbilical cord blood contains powerful stem cells that can be used to treat around 82 blood diseases and disorders. So the real challenge here is that there is a well-established industry that's worth more than £2 billion today, where we have these families that have paid around £2,000 to store their baby's stem cells, but they are mostly unaware that a stem cell treatment can cost up to £300,000. And what we have done is to develop the world's first stem cell insurance plan to cover all the costs associated with stem cell treatments, converting this potential £300,000 bill into a £150 policy per year. And also, we have established our own laboratory facility where we are providing support to stem cell research companies, and we also provide the families the possibility of storing their stem cells with us.
Excellent stuff. So essentially, I'm looking at your company there. It can be broken down into three areas, can't it? That's sort of wide cell itself, and there's a cell plan, there's wide academy, isn't there?
Yes, because we have built what we call a complete end-to-end services solution. Whilst the industry up until now was mainly about storing the stem cells and the journey that clients will be facing is just from the delivery room when the baby is born and the stem cells are collected until they are sent to the cord blood bank and stored in a cryotank for 25 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. What we are doing now is connecting treatment centers, hospitals, and medical teams with these patients and enabling more and more families to be able to access treatments because we have made it accessible and affordable now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so take us through at the moment. I know you're not far off from launching Cell Plan. How is that going?
Yes. Yeah, so we've, in December last year, we've signed up our first agreement with one of the most accredited cord blood banks in Europe, a company called BioVault based in the UK. They have presence in several countries, their inventory of more than 25,000 clients. And we have been preparing the details for the market launch, including the developments of our e-commerce platform, where we'll be able to inform clients about the benefits of not only storing stem cells, but about the insurance policy and the aggregated services that we have built. But we'll be able to receive the applicant details for the insurance policy, conduct a health questionnaire, collect payments, and issue the insurance policy digitally. So we are just at the final steps of finalizing that and also the marketing approach together with BioVault, where they will be referring the cell plan to their clients. So it's a very exciting stage for us because we've been developing products for more than 3 years now. And in about 1 month's time, we'll be seeing these products being offered to the market and bringing this a great solution for our families worldwide.
Excellent. So also tell us about your investment. You've been working with the University of Manchester and your investment there. And take us into the detail of that, please, if you could, Joe.
Yes. Yeah, so we've in our accounts, we've shown an investment in CAPEX of around £390,000. Mm-hmm. That's mainly for setting up our laboratory at the University of Manchester Innovation Centre, where we'll not only be supporting stem cell research companies, and we have entered the first contract research project with a company from the US in the end of last year, which started to generate revenues already. But we are also setting up what we call the cryogenics division, where we'll be providing families the possibility of storing their baby's umbilical cord blood with us as well, in Europe and the Middle East. Now, what's interesting from an investment standpoint is that normally to set up a cord blood bank in the UK or even in Europe, it would cost around 1 million to 2 million pounds, depending on the location. And what we have been able to do is for 390,000 pounds, we've did an upgrade on existing clean rooms at the University of Manchester. We have equipped the whole lab. We are sharing the quality management system with the university. And at the moment, I'm very proud to say that we are just in the final steps before receiving the license from the Human Tissue Authority. Our clean rooms have been validated already. So it's, again, a very exciting moment for us because for a minimum investment, we have a high-quality standard facility, one of the best in Europe. And just as an investment proposition, it just shows the way that we are managing the business, which will allow us to be in a better financial position as we move forward.
Okay. And just take us through a wide academy and how that will be generating revenue and hopefully when it will be generating revenue.
So with Wide Academy, we've had very good news recently where we have appointed the former director of Apple Education, Alan Greenberg, to spearhead Wide Academy and to deliver our mission to the world. And what Wide Academy does is it is at the moment developing short e-learning courses on stem cells for healthcare professionals. And for example, in a partnership with the University of Westminster. But since Alan joined us around 1 month and a half ago, we've been starting conversations with very large technology companies globally and also other universities and top researchers. And what we are aiming to do now is to have curated content on in stem cell technology being developed through a series of digital marketing tools on a global scale. And the plan that we are putting in place now has the potential to reach hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. So that's again, a very exciting stage because a hard effort into building this division as well has been proven effective because we managed to attract these great talents, Alan Greenberg, to spearhead this division and bring the stem cell technology knowledge to not only healthcare professionals, but for potential clients globally as well.
Yeah, and of the three divisions there, Zhao, I don't know if it's, you know, if you're able to say this, but is there one that has, you know, particular more potential than the others, or do you think they all have equal and good potential there?
Well, the three need to exist and they all support each other. They are synergistic divisions because Wide Academy, by providing knowledge or education to healthcare professionals, they are able to recommend our services. And also if potential clients have a better knowledge about the potential for a stem cell treatment or the benefits of storing their baby's stem cells, they'll most likely make that that investment and that commitment. On the other side, CellPlan resolves a big problem, a more immediate problem, because there are already 3 million people that paid around £2,000 to store their baby's stem cells, but do not have an insurance for treatment. So this solves an unmet need that exists at the moment, and we have the solution. And with the white cells division, it's very interesting to see that we have been attracting stem cell research companies to enter contract research projects so that we can support them. And that's starting to generate revenue. And also within white cells division, we'll be providing stem cell storage services to families as well. We have a technology to process stem cells from baby's teeth. We have a technology to process stem cells from adipose tissue following a liposuction procedure. And these stem cells can be used in the future in regenerative medicine. So these are is also a division that's able to generate substantial revenues. Perhaps it takes longer, this division, to generate these substantial revenues, and CellPlan will see results more soon. With Wide Academy, it's mainly the supports, and it's a division that will be paying for itself.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, as far as you're concerned, I suppose 2017 is a year where you start to monetize these divisions. Is that right?
Yes, we are about 1 month away from starting to generate revenues from CellPlan and a couple of months away to start generating revenues from the white cells cryogenics division, and we have already started to generate revenues from research. So it's interesting now to see that this year we'll be monetizing all the investment that has been done so far, especially with the £2 million raise that we did on the IPO last year, and those resources have been put to good use, as our preliminary results show. And now we are able to spend money on the marketing effort to start acquiring clients and delivering our solutions to the world.
Marvelous. Well, Joe, you know the score here at Vox Markets. I do highlight the top five most followed companies on the podcast. So for someone listening right now, they're going to like this. It's a cutting-edge company, and you know, but they haven't hit that follow button yet. Could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Well, we are very innovative because we are delivering the world's first end-to-end services solution, focusing especially on making stem cell treatments accessible and affordable globally. We are diverse because we have three synergistic divisions that have the ability to create multiple revenue streams and also allow mass market penetration. And there's a recognized demand because more than 3 million people have already paid to store their stem cells but do not have an insurance for treatment. And these are the three main points as our investment case.
Yeah, and as a company, are you quite, like you say, you know, innovative? But are you quite unique? Are there many competitors out there for you?
Well, with CellPlan, I must say, with the services that we have developed, which includes an expert medical opinion service, a medical concierge, the fact that we have global reinsurance and insurance capacity, an e-commerce platform, no one has developed any of that for the stem cell industry before. So at the moment, there's no competition, and the challenge is to scale up quickly. And that's why we have this brought this amazing talent to the table, including the founder of DanPlan, to help us with the development of that division. In terms of Wine Academy, it's again an unmet need. No one really focused on delivering content to healthcare professionals and potential clients on a global scale. And it's a model that we are implementing at the moment. So it's in reality, there's no stem cell services company focusing on different areas as we are. So that's why this multiple divisions are able to generate multiple revenue streams, and the company is set off for a big success, I believe, in the future.
Marvelous. Joe, it's good to talk to you. And listen, like you said, you've got a lot going on in 2017, so no doubt we'll speak again very soon. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much, Justin. Thank you.
All right, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, URU Metals. It's hot on social media. URU ticker. At three, it's foregone. At four, Amrit Pharma, AMYT. At three, Andalath, Energy and Power, ADL. At two, it's always there. I just spoke to Colin here on the podcast. Lovely guy, Col. And they are the most followed company. Ascent Resources, AST. And number one, the most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours is Talao Energy. And I did a blog on the weekend about Talao. I did 11 quick reasons why you should add them to your watch list. It's obviously worked a bit because it's number one today. So, genuinely, I'm a holder of the company. As I say, this podcast is not intended in any way as investment advice. But if you've not read about Talao, I'd highly advise you to do a bit of a read-through because it's a very interesting company. They're hoping to bring, coal bed methane to a power station in Botswana, a country with a democratic, multi-party elections going on every year or every 4 years. But it's a very stable country, and they've got a fast-growing economy. But they have a chronic energy shortage, and they've relied on diesel, which is very expensive. It's also environmentally unsound. And so they're hoping to sort of sort this out. They have blackouts all the time. They're going to sort this out. And one of the projects they're looking at or initiatives they're driving is towards coal bed methane. And Talao are the most advanced company in that country as far as it's concerned. And they've got a partner now to build a power station. They've got initial sort of certification of gas reserves, and they've got an environmental impact assessment. So they are, looking to produce gas via that route, via power stations. It won't be actually into the grid until, I think, quarter two 2019, but there's still only a 15 million market cap, and they've just raised cash, so no need to go back to the market for a while. And I just think, you know, it's looking forward to the next 2 years. They have, you know, a cracking potential, because they can also supply this gas to the southern African region. And South Africa, you know, even Botswana only has a population around 2-3 million, but South Africa has a population of 53 million. But even so, even in Botswana alone, there's enough potential there. So I think worth checking out the blog there, and you can get a link to it on any sort of blog I write or publish. At the bottom there, you will see a list of previous blogs, and you can read that blog on Talao there. Anyway, I've blathered on for so long, and do you know what? I've had a cold for about a week now, and I'm making no sense to myself. I do apologise if I made no sense to you whatsoever. Anyway, listen, let's crack on to the top five. I thought I'd finish the podcast there. See, my head is in a mug. I don't mean a coffee mug. A hazy mug, you know? What am I talking about? All right, top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning. At five, LGO Energy, the spud of well GY683 at Goodron Field in Trinidad. At four, Innovoderma, IDP, trading update. At three, Stradaero, a trading update from then. At two, most liked RNS, second most liked RNS, is PVR, Providence Resources, operational update on Frontier Exploration License 3/04 Southern Porcupine Basin. And number one, most liked RNS today, was from Talao. A double whammy there from Talao. License renewal there. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.